I'm Rizwan with Joan. Welcome to Women's Voices, your platform to discuss your issues and share information. Today we have with us in the studio lovely Fazila Raza, Ethnic Advisor with Office of Ethnic Affairs in Department of Internal Affairs. Welcome, Fazila.
Thanks, Rizwan. Thanks, Joan.
It's good to have you with us.
It's great to be here.
Could you tell us now something about the role you are playing with different ethnicities and communities?
Sure, Rizwan. I'm an advisor for the Office of Ethnic Affairs, which is a reasonably newly created government department. And we report through to the Minister of Ethnic Affairs, Honourable Chris Carter. The main focus of our office is to ensure that ethnic communities can participate more fully in all aspects of New Zealand life, economic life, social life, political life, cultural life. We have two main roles within the office. One is policy advice and policy development, and the other is the advisor role. And I'm an advisor based in Auckland, and I'm one of three.
Who are the others?
I'm lucky to work with two wonderful colleagues, Wong Lu Shong and Yangi Fung, who's our new advisor.
What are the main areas that you work in?
We, Joan, I guess have about three main roles as advisors. The key role that we play is trying to understand and identify the issues that face ethnic communities and report those through to other government and non-government agencies. So in this way, we're trying to ensure that New Zealand government policy is responsive to the needs of the ethnic sector. And when I talk about the ethnic sector, the way that we define that is a government definition, and it refers to people who are different from the majority, who have a different cultural heritage, and are not Māori or are not Pacific peoples. So we're talking about people who are migrants, people who are refugees, people who are long-term settlers, and people like myself who were born in New Zealand but are also ethnic.
And how do people, how do you find out what people think or what their issues are?
The main way that we do that, Joan, is to work directly with ethnic communities, to talk directly with communities, not to rely on any other intermediary agencies. So our relationships with ethnic communities are really important.
So you go to the communities and attend their meetings and talk to the people at grassroots level.
Yes, that's right. We talk at the grassroots level with communities, and I think that's one of the strengths of our organisation is that we do have those relationships. The other role that we play is to work strategically with other government agencies. We're a small agency and we have small resources, so our strength lies in being able to work collaboratively with other agencies like local councils and government departments so that they can improve their services to ethnic people and make sure that their policy is responsive to the needs of ethnic people.
Can you give us an example?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the important examples within the Auckland context is our work with local government and immigration service to have the establishment of the Auckland Regional Migrant Centre. This was a very long-term project. It took a number of years to get going, but we're pleased to see that it's established now. And that centre is a result of funding from both central and local government and collaboration from a number of different agencies, of which we were one.
Can you tell people exactly what the Arms Centre do in case they've never heard of it?
Sure, Joan. The Arms Centre provides referral and settlement services. So they're resourced to help people get access to employment, develop employment-related skills, also to work directly with communities to help them access ESOL, They work with individuals. If you go in, you have a settlement-based problem, you can ask them for advice and information, and they'll often refer you to the appropriate service. They also run a number of different workshops and programs themselves that are helpful in those areas.
How can people contact the Auckland Refugee Auckland ARMS?
ARMS, yeah. Sure. The ARMS phone number is 625-2440. And I'd also like to note that they work closely with a multilingual line that the CAB has established, which is actually based at the centre. And the centre staff, the ARMS staff themselves, are many of them bi or multilingual. So there is that provision as well, which is excellent.
So you're likely to be able to speak in your own language?
Hopefully so, yes.
What's that language line?
Okay, Language Line is a different service. Language Line is a service that the Office of Ethnic Affairs has actually established to help improve communication for people who do not have English as their first language, and six government agencies at this stage. So it's a telephone-based interpreting service, not one-to-one interpreting. And it's you can access it through the six government departments, and they are the New Zealand Police, Accident Compensation, Department of Internal Affairs, Housing New Zealand, Work and Income, and New Zealand Immigration Service. You can access Language Line through 0800 numbers for all of these agencies except the police, and with the New Zealand Police you're required to ring your local police station. What you need to say is Language Line and then the language that you require interpreting in. Now Language Line at present covers over 30 different languages, including Māori, Pacific languages, and a range of other ethnic languages. For more information on that, please feel free to contact me and I can send out information to people.
And what number do they ring up to contact you?
To contact me, you can phone me on 362 7919. That's my direct dial number and I have more information.
Can you repeat that?
Sure. So that's 362 7919 and I can send people out more information on Language Line, including the Language Line cards, which you can actually take with you to the different government agencies and present them and show them if you're in a face-to-face situation.
Okay. Fazila, I just wanted to know if it's, all the ladies, basically, all the ethnicities nearly are covered, the languages which are there?
We've got over 30 languages, certainly not covering all the languages,
okay,
but a good many of them. And the way it works is that we've looked at population figures and needs to determine that. Now, this may change over time, of course, to reflect the different needs within New Zealand as they change in relation to migration and so forth.
Okay. What about workshops you mentioned?
We run a number of different types of workshops, Joan. One of the really important ones that I wanted to talk to you about today was the Ethnic Women's Network. What this is it's a we facilitate about around four network meetings per year, and it's open to all ethnic women. And it's a great opportunity for women to come together and to meet each other, and we've had some wonderful partnerships and wonderful friendships emerge, as you well know, from that women's network. It's also a place where women can get information on different issues, and also they can request what kind of information they want for the following meetings. So the network is really about what the women need and what the women suggest that they want. For example, the last network that we had was about care of elderly, because for some, particularly the older settled migrant communities, that is becoming a growing issue. The women's network previous to that was on some of the key health issues for women, for example, cervical and breast screening. So we try and cater the network so that women A, have fun and can socialise and interact, have some food, meet new people, and B, get some information which is really important to them and relevant to their lives.
I think what really affected me was that the food is politically correct.
Yes.
Everybody's tastes are catered for.
Absolutely. If we make sure we have vegetarian options, halal options, and we try and make sure that we have some interesting, yummy food.
I notice everybody flocks around the table very
yeah.
quickly.
Yeah. I think for most of us, food's an important part of our culture.
Well, I have enjoyed them. Loved them too.
Oh, great.
Do any of these women come to you for advice afterwards?
Sure, yep. After the network, we often get calls from women. What we try and do is work with communities rather than individuals, but we do provide information to anyone, of course. Sometimes what women are wanting to do is develop their own kinds of projects for other women in their community, and that's really where we can play an important role. Firstly, we can provide information, as I've mentioned. We can provide advice on community development, so how to develop the kinds of projects and initiatives that you want. And I think we're in a really good position to point people in the right direction, really, help them to identify what resources are out there for them and how they can best access them. So that includes funding, but also a range of other resources and services that sometimes people just don't know about. In relation to funding, we also run a series of workshops to help people develop their community organisations, to become more prepared to apply for funding and to get information on how and where to access funding from. We've run two this year and we will be running a third and possibly a fourth workshop. So if people are interested in that, they're also free to contact me on my phone, which is 362-7919. So the funding workshops are really open to anyone from ethnic communities who are interested.
What sort of funding are you talking about?
We talk about funding really broadly, Joan. So that really includes funding that you can fundraise, how to develop your own funding through community, through sponsorship, through donations. We also talk about how to apply for government funding and how to apply for trusts and non-government funding options. So there's really a whole range, and we stress that it's important to think of funding as coming from multiple sources. So we talk about that. And we also talk more about how to develop your community organisation so that it's strong to apply for funding. These are all important steps in the process, so we take quite a holistic approach.
So you're actually encouraging groups to become stronger and more active?
Yes, we are. We're trying to, what we call, use a community development model to build capacity within the communities so that communities have the resources, personal and other kinds of resources, to achieve the goals that they set out for themselves.
Are these workshops free?
Yes, Rizwan, they are free.
Okay.
We only ask that people share the information with the rest of their community.
Any other project that your department provides for women?
Yes, Rizwan, we're actually involved in quite an exciting project at the moment with the Community Development Group and ADCOS, the Auckland District Council of Social Services. It's called the Social Entrepreneurship Project. And what we're working on is developing an understanding of some of the needs and issues facing young women from a refugee and migrant background. And that's the first phase of the research phase. And the second phase is helping to develop some community development initiatives which will benefit those young women.
And how's it going?
It's going well. It's a challenging project and it's dealing with some really complex issues. But we think it's going well at this stage. We're still in the early stages, but it's looking pretty exciting.
Because what you're trying to do then is to give voice to those people who don't really have much opportunity to be heard.
Exactly, exactly. Mm. Young women sometimes don't get the kind of voice that we'd like them to have. And they're a group that hasn't really received much attention, which is why we're looking at them. But, you know, using a culturally appropriate model, we look at how this works within the community of women generally and within their whole community.
Notice that we've been talking mainly of women, and of course this program is Women's Voices.
Mm.
Are men allowed to have anything to do with ethnic affairs?
Well, of course, of course, Joan, we don't discriminate at all. It's a question that's been asked before. Yeah, no, we do work with men, but we don't target men specifically at this stage because we work a lot with men through the mainstream community organisations where they're quite strongly represented. We, of course, understand that there are some very important men's issues, which we are actually talking about with other agencies on how to work on.
But in most agencies, I think it is the men who represent ethnic communities and not so much the women.
At this stage, yes, the mainstream organisations do have good representation of men. Increasingly, we're seeing numbers of women being quite active within their mainstream community organisations as well. So that's great.
And what about, you spoke about young women, what about youth altogether? Do you have a role in that area?
Yes, we do. We've recently developed a paper on ethnic youth issues, which we've been circulating to different agencies. And we work at that policy level with the Ministry of Youth Affairs.
Fazila, you have been in this job for the last 3 years. Mm. What are the issues that women have brought to you and how it has been dealt with?
There's really a number of issues, Rizwan, that I've experienced or seen through my work as an advisor for 3 years. The issues for women are very complex and they're often different. There are some differences, rather, depending on whether women are, for example, refugees or migrants or New Zealand-born women. There are also some very common issues that all women face. One of the issues, I think, one of the more complex issues, is how women negotiate their traditional gender roles and identities within a New Zealand context. For some women, this can be very challenging and very complex. As mothers, women also face the challenge of how to maintain traditional inherited cultures for their children, for the next generation. Women are often seen as the centre of the family, so that presents some other challenges as well for women about how to keep traditional family dynamics and structures going in a New Zealand context, which is often very different. The other kinds of issues that we see for women are around, for example, employment. Like for many migrant and refugee women, employment is a challenge. One of the issues related to this is around, for example, childcare, getting access to quality, affordable childcare that allows women to go out and be part of the workforce or perhaps study. This is certainly an important issue. I think for younger women, there are issues around negotiating their cultural identity. If you're born in New Zealand or you've come here at an early age, you have dual cultural roles or cultural affiliations, and this can be really challenging to negotiate. One of the other big issues that we hear about for all women, not just ethnic women, is the issue of domestic violence, of course, and how this can be, how these issues can be dealt with in a culturally appropriate way. Health issues are also very important for women. For new migrant and refugee women, getting access to health information can be a challenge, especially if language is a barrier for you. The costs of health services can be a real barrier for some women. This is definitely a huge issue.
Yeah.
Another issue lies more generally, not just for women, but for communities as a whole, is culturally appropriate social services. So, for example, I mentioned that we ran a women's network on elderly care. The challenge for women living in New Zealand is often getting access to care for their elderly parents or relatives which is linguistically and culturally appropriate. At the moment, there are really very limited services in this area, and the burden often falls on women to be the primary caregivers for elderly people. Also, for women experiencing any kinds of difficulties, emotional, social difficulties, getting access to counselling or support services which understands their cultural perspective that they have to live in and operate from is very difficult and very challenging. Just the complexity of the issues is huge, the range of issues is huge. I think I've only touched on probably a few here.
I think the thing about refugee having sort of been traumatised and suffering from depression, it's very difficult for them to find counselling in their language.
Yes.
And people who understand what they've been through.
Yes, you're right, Joan. I think the challenges that refugees generally and refugee women face on arrival here are huge. And one of those relates to, emotional well-being. At the moment, there is Refugees as Survivors, which is a non-government agency that provides some counselling and support services to people from a refugee background. And they have community workers who come from the different, from a variety of different refugee communities who are obviously culturally equipped and linguistically equipped to deal with some of the problems. But that service alone probably isn't enough to meet the high needs.
And what other agencies are there?
The key agency in terms of refugees is probably the Refugee and Migrant Service, which is responsible for the initial resettlement of refugees in New Zealand. And they have a number of different types of workers, including social workers, who help refugees on arrival in New Zealand.
How do they get in touch with the Refugees as Survivors and this other agency? Is there any way they can...
CAB, yeah, that's...
The CAB would have those numbers. In terms of the Refugee and Migrant Service, people who come here as quota refugees, that is, as UNHCR-approved refugees, are automatically in touch with the Refugee and Migrant Service.
Okay.
If you'd like the RANS number, you can access that either through the phone book, it's in the white pages, or through ringing the Citizens Advice Bureau.
You said you had a little more to tell us about Language Line.
Yes, I think Language Line is a really important service, and I just wanted to stress that the way that we can ensure that the service is maintained is by using it. So it's really important for people who may not necessarily need Language Line themselves to talk to their community members, family members, friends who may need Language Line. Sometimes when people get stressed as well, even though they might be proficient in English, or if it's a personal or difficult issue, they would prefer to speak in their own language. Language Line is accessible for them as well. Also, Language Line is important in terms of helping people access government services and information that they may not be able to normally access in English.
I think one of the things that you are stressing is that if anybody has information, they must always be willing to share it.
Absolutely, yes, yeah. That's the whole, I guess, the whole basis of community development is people working together and sharing that information.
Yeah. Sharing increases and strengthens the ties.
Absolutely, yes.
So those of you who are listening to Women's Voices, whatever information you hear here, you have a duty, please, to pass the information on.
And share it with your other sisters.
Yeah, absolutely.
What plans have you got for the future, Zila?
Well, that's a huge question, Joan. Well, I see myself continuing in my role at Ethnic Affairs for some time. It's I feel really privileged to have this role. It's a great position. And it's one for me that's allowed me to fulfil some of my own personal goals through my professional work. And what I mean by that is, having grown up in New Zealand as an ethnic person, it's wonderful to be able to be part of an organisation which is representing and trying to meet the needs of ethnic people. So I find it very, very satisfying on that level.
Well, I think Rizwan and I can vouch for the fact that certainly at community level you're very well known.
Yes.
And very Thanks, much Joan. Respected and liked.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thanks.
And may all your dreams come true.
Oh, thank you. That's a great blessing.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Rizwan. Thanks,
and
Joan.
And if you could just repeat your phone number again.
Certainly. So. That's Fazila Raza, and my phone number is 362-7919. And please leave a message. If I'm not there, I will get back to you.
And now, to end the program, we are going to play some of Fazila's music.
Yep.
Great. Thanks,
Joan. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Sorry, sorry, raat chali yaad satave kand mere nain koi pyar na paave Sorry, sorry, raat chali yaad satave kand mere nain koi pyar na paave Dil deke pachtaniyan main Dil deke pachtaniyan Bedardi neend na aave कोई प्यार न पावे दिल देके पछतानियां मैं दिल देके पछतानियां बेदर्दी नींद ना आवे सारी सारी रात तेरी याद सतावे केंद मेरे नैन कोई प्यार न पावे पछतानियां बेदर्दी नींद ना आवे
koi pyar na kare sar na teri yaad sata